you are, Mobile.
From a double shell up here. KJ4, CTZ Mobile.
Hey, Mr. Wyatt. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Tom? I was talking to Andy earlier today, and I was like, yeah, normally Tom's on earlier, and I haven't heard from you lately.
Just headed back, getting ready to cross over I-85 down here at Pelham Hospital, or whatever they call it. Yeah. And, haven't yet crossed over it yet. And the Christmas traffic is here, believe it or else. But Bernice is having echocardiogram. They check her every 4 months. And I ran down to the daughter's. You know, we got to talking about things before I left, and I don't even know what I ran down there for, but I got a whole plate full of fudge and cookies and all kinds of things to bring back, so I don't care.
Well, I hope Bernice is still doing good. I hope the stuff came back good.
What they checked for, Wyatt, is she's got a calcified mitral valve, and they say that people live with that all their lives. At times, and other times they have to have open heart surgery. So they check it real carefully every 4 months. And so far, it's been okay. I'm doing fine after having my heart surgery. Can't complain. Everything else hurts still, Wyatt, but that's that rare disease, AGE, you know.
I know. I haven't quite hit double nickel yet. My fingers are starting to feel that disease that comes along. And yesterday I was having a severe case of part-time Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I think we all get that. CRS, can't remember stuff. But, I got a weird problem with a hot water tank. It's a Bradford White. And I changed the thermostat on it. The symptoms are that Bernice takes her shower usually always after I do. At about 7 o'clock every night, I take a shower. And it takes 7 or 8 minutes, and then she goes and takes hers. And several times lately, right in the middle of her shower, it turns to cold water. Well, the old saying, happy wife, happy life, doesn't apply when you get cold water in the shower, you know. So, anyways, I ordered an OEM item from Bradford White and got a new thermostat put on it. But I can't squat down for a long time, and I can't lift a lot anymore. So I didn't change the heating elements, and one of them checks like 11.5 ohms, and the other heating element checks about 12 ohms. Well, that's normal. I know the thermostat's good, but and then after I put it in, it ran for about 2 weeks, and then it quit. And the water temperature's about 115. So I finally broke down and called the plumber today, and I could just about buy a new hot water tank for what he's going to charge, but the kids are coming down from Michigan on Monday, and I don't have this problem when they're here, but I just don't know what it is. It's one of them phantom things, electrical things that aren't supposed to happen. You know, a cow rod on a heating element, if they go bad, they usually short or open, and neither one of them is. They check accurately, so I don't really know what the heck it is, Wyatt.
The solution is you let Bernice take her shower first. So you get the freeze.
That's plan B, and I'm still working on plan A. But you don't know it when it's going to do it, because it might work for a week or two, and then it quits. And the tank's only 5 years old. But I talked to Ariel, and AI said that those cow rods, or your heating elements, can be intermittent. Normally they either go to ground or they open, but neither is the case. And he had a good Fluke meter. I got a Fluke 87, so it's good. And, I mean, they come really, really close in their resistance readings. Nothing to ground. doesn't make me happy at all.
Kind of smart eating element, are they?
No, they're just a common cow rod. I've worked on hundreds of different types of heating things and that in my lifetime, and I had over 100 heaters to take care of in the machine shop I worked at, and then had about 20 or 30 over at the other plant. And then I had a 13 million BTU stress oven to take care of, so I know a little bit about them, but it just, I don't know what I'm looking for ideas out there, and it's just one of them crazy things. I've got to answer this. This is Bernice, and I'll be right back with you in a second in 0TR.
Okay, KJ4, CTD Mobile. I mean, you know, a hot water heater is pretty stupid for a piece of equipment. I mean, it's just got a thermostat, some heating elements, and water that moves around. And that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're exactly right. And they either go or they don't go. And something fails or it don't fail. But I don't know. It makes me feel like the dumb one, not the hot water tank. I really feel like I should went down and got a white down at, let me see here, where have I got to turn in? Down at Lowe's and just had somebody install it, because I'm just not able to lift or anything quiet. But I didn't. Anyways, I'll get it fixed. That's the main idea.
That might be in there is a thermal fuse, the one that auto resets. That's the only other part that I could think that might be on a hot water heater.
Schematic, I checked that out, but I worked on a lot more gas ones than I have hot water ones.
So that fancy new gas line that they stuck in? Just stick in the gas one and call it done. Access to that fancy new gas line they stuck in, you could just, you know, hook it up to gas. Or get a propane tank and hook it up.
They're moving the cookies. No, they didn't put any gas up my place. It's just electric, 240 volts.
Voltage tanks? Liquid calls it, but I don't know how it happened on a regular basis.
No problem there. Ariel's AI said that it could be a loose neutral or something, and that ain't possible with me. I've been doing it over 50 years. I put in the circuit breaker box before they installed the new tank last time, and that young man looked it over and all. And it's a nice job, so there's no problem there. Mostly what I done was 483 phase, so 240s, I can do it standing on my head, you know.
I have no idea then. Not a clue, because like I said, you know, water heaters, they're sort of like dryers. They're pretty dumb pieces of appliance. They either work or they don't.
Dryers, the bad thing is, I'm a very poor mechanic, and I had one back home many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, and you know, I cussed that thing forever. I never even figured it out. But some of the electrical schematics on appliances are so much different than what I had on general purpose control. I mean, I had machines that had 735 four-pole double-throw relays just in one panel. And that was just one panel for that machine. And they don't have the same kind of schematics on these appliances. Some of it I just can't read.
Radio switch frequencies. I didn't hear the end of that after your relay story.
Well, some of them schematics on appliances, I was never trained on it. I just can't read them. I can read portions of them. But and a lot of things nowadays are microprocessor controlled, of course. But I understand that, and PLCs and stuff. But the diagrams are just not masters. They're weird, some of them that they have on them.
You know, on the more computer control you have on your like washer and dryer and whatnot, once that control board goes down, it's actually almost cheaper to buy a whole brand new appliance than it is to replace that one control board.
Yeah, I don't the evolution of things. Do you remember when automobiles, they started putting in that wiring that was, it's like clear plastic, and it's sort of like computer connections that are on the circuit boards and that, you know, with that flex cable and that. Well, I had an old Nissan truck that the whole instrument panel, they just had the lights basically stuck into those. It was before LEDs, of course, and it was like clear plastic, and it had copper wires running through it. I run into that on some machine tools in the old days, and you can just kind of fold it up to the side. It's stiff. You remember when car dashboards had that behind the dashboards?
I clearly remember that. I also remember they had, when they first started doing all that extra wiring, the insulation was not set up for gas, oil, and friends, and the insulation would come apart.
Another one that always ticked me off is you get into some very small connections like encoders and resolvers and stuff like that, and they'd have wires real small, and you get in there and you'd strip them, and it wasn't really copper wire or some kind of braid, and it would not solder.
And the wires that are so thin that when you go to strip the wire, the cable, strip the insulation off, you also ended up cutting the wire. Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, headphones and stuff like that, microphones and stuff. I don't know what they call that stuff, but it's a pain in the gluteus maximus, I can tell you that, to work with. And you ain't going to solder it. I don't care if you put acid on it, which you're not supposed to, of course. This is NZLTR Mobile.
Of all the challenges we have faced, Tom. Well, I have detonated. I'm back at home. So let me get in here and get my lunch going. And we'll catch you further along. And if I don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you and Bernice.
Bye, you and yours. And you guys be careful out there, most of all. Or you be careful out there. Electricity is fun to work with, but it don't like us. Talk to you later, Wyatt. Merry Christmas. This is NZLTR73.
RN6DLX.
How you doing? Good afternoon.
I was listening long enough. I was wanting to cut in and rib you to tell you the problem with your water heater is you're trying to plug in a gas, but I wouldn't do that to you.
NZLTR. Mike, he's a little scratchy in plugging in a what, did you say?
I was going to rib you and tell you that your problem with the water heater is that you're trying to hook up electrical wiring to a gas-fired water heater.
What the problem is electrically with an old electrician joke, but I can't tell you on the radio what the problem is. Oh, shoot. But, I worked on a lot of forced air heaters. I had about 100 of the 225,000 in, 180 out forced air heaters over all the machines in our large machine shop, which was about 300,000 square feet. But it had infrared gas heaters that were 100,000 BTU. It had electrical 480 volt infrared heaters in some of the places I worked there, and all the way up to a 13 million BTU stress oven. And then I had two 275,000 BTU heaters on top of the paint room. That's just some of the little things I worked on as far as gas goes. And then I had a 30,000-gallon propane generating system that I had to regulate the gas to the shop when they shut us off back in the 80s.
Around gas.
Out of it too, according to Bernice. In hot air, anyways, Mike.
It's water heater. Ooh, many years ago, 10 years, 15, just probably 15 years ago. I made the mistake of going to Sears and saying, I'll just get that Kenmore. I went through three of them. None of them would work. I took them all back. I said, I don't want any more of these. Just give me my money back. And I went down to the plumbing store and bought a ream. I've never had to worry about it since.
A.O. Smith is good. But this Bradford White used to be really good. I worked on a lot of gas valves that were made by White. And it was a very good company. But Mark said, Bernice, she looked it up on the computer on the Bradford White, which they just merged, is only 3.6. And it said it could have intermittent heaters in it, you know, your cow rods, your heating elements, which, like this young man that come out today, he said, I've never seen that. And I said, I haven't either, but AI says it's possible. And Ariel sent me that in my 4G, and he's an absolutely brilliant person, especially on radios. Heck, he can design antennas, but to give you an idea, he was an engineer down at General Electric, and they sent him all over the world, so I respect everything he says. But I've never seen it, neither had this young man. I told him to replace them. I don't want to fool with it. I just can't hardly lift anything or twist and turn on anything anymore, Mike, at my age. And I don't want to fool with it. And I usually shower and get my shower done in about 6 or 8, 10 minutes. And then Bernice goes in there, and then it turns to cold water. So that's what I call the recovery element. But he said, no. So they don't have recovery elements. They just kind of work together anymore. And I said, change them out. And so he's going to change them out.
Elements just get weak. And they get coated, and they get weak, and they just don't put out the BTU like they used to.
Well, I never told him this, and I should have. He should have put an amp probe on each one of them and with them on, see what kind of amperage he was drawing to them, you know. And that might show it up.
Maybe you have a funky supply wire to it. It's not supplying the full 240, 220, whatever that, 220, I guess, or 230, whatever the heck it is. They take that two phase and they kind of make it into a funky three phase.
It's single phase, all right. It's 220s, and they're out of phase with each other. But, no, I did the wiring, and I've wired panel boxes to run an entire coal mine before, so when I tighten something up, it's tight, and the sizing on the wire is right and all that. I've done it for over 50 years, so that's pretty easy stuff for me, because most of what I work with, Mike, was either 480 volt three-phase on gigantic machinery or 223 phase. I worked on 240 single phase. I worked on 120 single phase. I worked on 553 phase for Canada. And, the wiring's correct, and it's the right wire size, but they're 4,800 watts is what the electric ones are. But at any rate, we'll wait and see what the young man says. Ooh, wow, there's a limb that fell out in the road there that I did not want to hit. We're about home, Mike, so very nice chatting with you. And get that antenna fixed or else you're in a little bit of a bad spot. It's a little choppy, shall we say. In 6CLX in 0TR73, Mike. Merry Christmas.
There, Tom, good luck with it, or good luck to your guy that you got working on it. I misspoke. Yeah, it's a single phase. Just got two single phase down to a neutral on each side. All righty. I will talk with you later. And if I don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. I'll be working next week, a couple days. And I'll be clear in 6CLX. Oh, by the way, I think I need to put a ground strap on this thing. This antenna is supposed to have a ground, and I never did ground it in 6CLX.
Merry Christmas, Mike. N0TR, clear.